Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we just ask you that as we go to your word, Lord, make it clear in our heart and in our mind, so, Lord, that we can receive the things that you have prepared and you have made available to us. We praise you and thank you for the love that you have for us. And for, Lord, all the things that we have from you already. Lord, help us to see it, understand it, receive it by faith, so that we can, Lord, appropriate everything and manifest it and be able to be used by you to produce results in our life and in those who we come in contact with. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about a topic that really we deal with all the time, but at some time, you know, produce problem for us. And this is temptation. It's temptation, understanding temptation, understanding the different aspect, the different way that it works. Okay, so we are going to look at these things, okay, from not just one scripture, but looking at many different scriptures, different times in the Bible, that shows something that unless we understand it properly, then we are not going to be very successful in overcoming, because we have a part to overcome temptations. And unless we understand our part and we do something, then we are going to be able to struggle. We are going to struggle. We are going to, you know, not be able to overcome. So I'm going to just, you know, starting from what we were saying in the last 2 weeks, okay, there are some, the position we have, our position is important, okay, where we stand before God. This is where our standing before God determines, you know, the type of results we're going to get, what we are going to experience, both spiritually and physically. Okay. We said, you know, we have to believe certain things. See, it's not by so much doing, it's not the works that produces results in our spiritual life. It's what we believe. If we don't have the belief at the level of our heart, then all the other working is going to be just a waste of time, and we are going to fail. We are just being in religion instead of being in the walking with God. Okay. The thing is interesting. The thing is to see that there was that from the very beginning. Nothing has changed throughout the centuries. We had different time in which there was different. People call it dispensation or whatever, different way that they understood God. But, you know, now we are at the place in which we should have the full understanding, because Jesus came and finished the things that needed to be prepared. It took a few thousand years for that to happen. But he did it and then allow us to get up to par with what he taught. But we have to understand these basic things, okay? The fact is, the way God is in general is very important. Believe that God wants to save everybody. There is nobody, nowhere, that God doesn't want to their salvation. Believe that God has given you everything that you need in the Word to be saved. That's a big thing that not many believe in, even they call themselves Christians, even theologians. Now, believe that God sent Jesus to save you specifically. And so you have to believe in him to receive him. Okay, believe that he died for you so that you are made righteous. So you had to, if you believe that, then you believe that you are righteous. And when you don't believe that you are righteous, then you are really not in agreement with God. But if, you know, that is based on the fact of, you know, your righteousness is not your righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness that was passed on to you. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Who knew not of sin became sin for you so that you become what? The righteousness of God in him. Okay, so there are those things that you have to believe to be able to experience what God has prepared for you. Okay, and believe finally, you know, and this is probably the most important thing of them all. Because without this, you are left on your own. And God doesn't leave you on your own. He has provided another helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to stay with you, to direct you, to guide you, to show you what to do. I mean, that seems to me, it's a wonderful plan. It's not just one thing. And it's nothing that you had to do physically. It's just an internal thing to believe certain things that he said, that he showed many, many, many times. Okay. If you try to get this by doing the works, you are in religion, you're going to get nothing. Amen. And so you're going to be completely deceived and unfulfilled. You're not going to get any of the things that you think you should be getting. So, you know, those are the things that we had to start with. If you don't have that implemented in your life, you better start meditating on all these things so that your mind can line up with the way God sees these things. Because if you don't, you are not going to be able to experience anything or please God or be able to get anywhere. Now, okay, when we become born again, okay, and we are in Christ Jesus, that's the idea again. What happens, okay, that we, a new man or a new creation comes in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are of God. All these things, you know, everything is changed. You know, and the people say, well, you know, I'm perfect now. I'm sorry, that's not the case. Okay. You are perfect to a degree. You are perfect because your spirit reconnected with God. But your mind and your heart aren't that way yet. Your heart has lots of wrong ideas and wrong thinking and wrong concept that are contrary to God. And those things are going to remain in you until you do something specifically about these things. I mean, when you change, you know, you take a position, you say, no, I'm turning this around. I'm repenting. And it's not just a Western or religious stuff. It's that you actually are going to do think different things, the opposite of what you were thinking before. Okay? So, and then, you know, there is a work that begins that has to do with your mind, the way you think, to determine and to identify and to discover the things that you are separate, they are still separating you from God. The moment when you are all connected to God and you are in Christ, then you are going to experience the things that in the Bible says when you are in Christ have. But if you don't have those things all the time, means that there are other times, you know, you have a split personality, the way I said before. There is old man inside you, the things according to the world, but it has given up to something that are actually the way God thinks and accepted it. And the new man, the things about those things are going to be lining up and is in Christ. And you, the one that your consciousness, your soul has to decide what to do. which side are you in? Because that determines where your standing is. You have to agree to go according to God's way instead of going according to old man way. The new man in you, and he's described in all the part when they talk about being in Christ in the Bible. You know, you start thinking about it, you start developing that, you start meditating on those things until they end up manifesting in you more and more. Okay. The problem is we often get off those thinking and start accepting the old man idea. This is because we are tempted. And this is the way sin comes inside us. Okay? And the way it comes inside us is because our heart has still some attachment to the things of the world. And we are not dead to the flesh, to the things of the world completely. So we are there vacillating. One moment we believe, the next moment we don't. One moment we love God and we are talking about it because we are not thinking about these other things. The next moment, oh, we want to do some stupid things that actually are going to be damaging, but we want them at the moment. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says what the problem is. Okay. It says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is talking about not the Father loving us. The Father love God loves you all the time. He sent Jesus when you were a sinner, when you didn't even care about him. So he loves you. The thing is, you don't love him. But the people in the world don't love God. They love their own idols. Their cars, their houses, their jobs, all the other things. There's one of these things, there is nothing wrong with them. It just should be in the right value scale. Nothing else. Okay. So, the word there, love is agapao, is really, shouldn't be interpreted as really love the way we generally intend it. It's a question of valuing, delighting, care for these things, the things of the world. That means if you care for these things, that means your mind is not set in things above the way we talked about, but on things on earth. And this is really what the problem is our consciousness, our mind, some of the judgment we have, oh, this is more important than some other things, spiritual things, think God shows us. And we care about that. I had to better, you know, find a job with get lots of money. It doesn't matter if I don't have time to go and spend time with the world or I'm in an environment in which, you know, the only thing I'm exposed is junk. So it shows your value right there. And we have to understand that our choices make a difference in the result we get. Because what we are inside, what we are exposed to, we are going to be even more attached, connected with, and is not connected with God in that case. Okay? So we have to make choices. Okay, according to the values that God gives to things, not the world gives to things. And God gives more value to your soul wanting the right thing than to be billionaire, to have big money, big houses, good job. Hello? And unless we deal with that properly, through God's direction in our life, then we end up getting ourselves in trouble because we expose ourselves to the wrong thing and we start valuing some of these things more than valuing what God values for us. So let me continue with the following verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we're talking about desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, things that we think that we like to see. The pride of life, okay? So the lust is really uncontrolled or appetite or desire, a passion that end up being in the wrong direction. Impure desire, craving. Okay. And pride is actually arrogance. The fact that we, care more, presumption of trusting these things rather than in self, rather than trusting God. See, that's pride. I'm so good. I'm so clever. I'm so powerful. Or whatever. Okay, I'm really, want the respect of others. They care more what others think about them than what actually God thinks about them, which is the only thing we should care about. Now, you can be a Christian and full of pride because you haven't dealt with that issues in your life. And that's probably one of the most difficult to deal with. Let me continue yet. Okay. Verse 17. And the world is passing away and the last of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So this is the way. See, the world, all the material things, all the things of the world are going to just go anyway, sooner or later. And you are going to get there left with nothing. That's what he's saying to us. Now, let's see how at the beginning, very beginning in the Garden of Eden, what took place. Because that is, if you want, a prototype of what happens all the time. Okay? And we're going to see how deceptive we can be in terms of dealing with these issues, which is a question of awareness of what's going on inside us spiritually. Okay? So before the fall, Adam and Eve were connected with God. Both of them were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. There was no any difference from that point of view. They all communicated with God and they all got the information from God that they need to know. They knew their consciousness knew what God's laws and principles were, and they were operating exactly at the same level that God operated in terms of producing result. Adam and Eve didn't work to look after the garden. They operated by their spirit. The spirit was in control because it was connected with God. And his soul was submitted to the spirit. This is the normal, the way God wants it, even today for us. The thing is, and let me read here. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So then the woman saw that the tree in the interaction with the serpent, okay, was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. That's what the enemy told him. And she took all the fruit and ate, and she also gave it to the husband over with her, and he ate. So what the sin was all about there, where they had really, there is anything good or anything bad wanting to have some good food. No. There is anything bad about liking something that you like and see. No. There is anything bad about wanting to be wise. Absolutely no. God wants you to be wise, but not in the stupid way, in the truth way. Okay. What was wrong then? Why was sin in that? Because God said, don't do it. Don't want to get that thing, that fruit. That was the only basis according to which they were sinning. Wasn't because they ate the fruit. Was because they broke God's law. They broke God's principle that he had told them, communicated to them, and they knew it. But they started reasoning, she started reasoning, and caring more about the things that she saw that was good to eat. See, the flesh, the body wants to eat. And so it was more important to satisfy the needs of the flesh than to satisfy the and to fulfill the law that God had given them. It was more important, okay, to satisfy the pleasure that you have from looking at this, or the fact that she was going to get wisdom, you know, than really listening to what God said. They had wisdom. They had all the things that they needed. But they believed the lie that they did not have it. Everything was theirs. But wanting that, and that was really the basis on which God was seeing how obedient they were to him, how were really connected with him. If they didn't want to do what God told them, that means they were going to go their own way, and God was not important what they thought. Well, they were more important. They were putting themselves above God. Their will, their desire, their flesh was more important than God. Okay. So this is really, okay, the way it works for everything. This is the, if you want, the model for where temptation comes and we end up falling into it and allowing it to overcome us. When we don't believe God's laws that are established to keep order in the world, both spiritually and physically, and we don't obey them because we choose to do our way and we know better. Okay. Essentially, what the problem is that we don't believe God. Now, at that time, they already had the information, the knowledge, because they were in communion with God. When you are in communion with God and there is no blockage between your soul and your spirit, then you know everything you need to know. I mean, it was amazing what Adam was able to do. He would call everything. He would know everything what to do. He would keep everything together. And God said, go and have dominion. How did he have dominion? Working and slaving around? No. He was operating by faith the way God operated. He was speaking, you know, he was calling things, he was saying things, and they were happening. That was, you know, really God made them such a way. That was a pretty good creation that he thought about. Okay? He made them in his image, in his likeness. That's what it means. Okay? They were able to, you know, not to work. Work started with the curse. Sweating started with the curse. And one of the things that happened, okay, because they separated themselves from God, the ability to be able to perceive what was in their spirit was coming from God, was cut off. They died spiritually. Okay. Their heart accepted the enemy ideas, and that was ruling them, not anymore what God ideas were and the principles and everything else that they knew, because they were operating according to spiritual principles that produce even physical result. You want to see somebody that operated that way? Jesus. Jesus had no original sin in him, and he was going around and breaking the physical law because his spirit was connected with God and he could exercise the authority that God had given man, Adam, at the beginning, and that's why it's called the second Adam. He was the manifestation of that reality. And God wants us to get back to that place. But it's not going to happen until there is the whole man inside us. Because the whole man has not believed, doesn't believe, doesn't know the laws of God, doesn't know anything, doesn't want to know. It's full of unbelief. Actually, you know, it's full of specific unbelief because there are different types of unbelief. Let's see if we can get there today and expand on that. When, you know, we have areas in our life, emotionally or physically, that we need, these things can become strong. We are starting to give them value more than what you should value, which is God and His will and His principles. And that is temptation. That is when we get to the place and we have to choose between things that you have to put under the love God more than these things. That doesn't mean that they're bad. But they are not according to God's principles. And God's principles are done in such a way that the whole world functions properly, is balanced, is working in the way it should, and anybody can be blessed. Because the only thing He does are good things. But when, you know, they came separated from God, the whole world came into that space, into that dimension. Okay. And, you know, they became separated from God, controlled by their body and the things of the world, and, you know, did not understand spiritual things anymore because they were separated from God. And that was true for all the centuries, until Jesus came on earth and made us able to be born again. When we are born again, the communication between us and God in our spirit restarts. But it's not complete because our heart is not completely cleaned up. We still believe lots of things that are wrong that we learned before. And we had to deal with those things. Okay. So when we are in a situation in which, for example, we need something emotionally or physically, then, you know, and we don't get it, we try to find ways, even if they're contrary to what God says, to be able to get it. Are you following me? Okay. So, the Old Testament man, okay, had no connection with God. That we have to understand that. This is why Jesus said that, you know, someone in the kingdom, even the smallest one in the kingdom, is better than any prophet or any person, the great person in the New Old Testament. Okay. That wasn't true when Jesus was alive, but became true as soon as people started being born again. Why? Because they weren't connected with God and they could not understand spiritual things. Except for some individual who had a special connection with God because they really thought after that. They, for some reason or another, okay, experience or thing, they became so interested and they had that kind of opening for God to be able to listen anyway. Example, Abraham. Abraham listening. You know, Enoch, Moses, some of the other prophets. They understood, not perfect, but enough. Some more than others. Okay, they broke through, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. What they had is the Holy Spirit coming on them and revealing and communicating things for them so that they got some information and they knew. Okay. So this is important to understand. Okay. But the Old Testament, because they didn't have spiritual connection with God, they could not understand spiritual things. The only thing that they understood were physical things. And even when they are very spiritual, you're more oriented, you know, there was always limited for that. And that's why Jesus said what is I told you before. Okay. So if you had it, and that's why, you know, that is still today the way for us that we need to do. We need to connect with God. But Jesus made it in such a way that the connection with God should be natural to us. We are at a great advantage with respect to anybody in the Old Testament because we have been given that as a gift by just trusting Jesus because it was, you know, something actually that we can connect with easily as a person. Identifying, showing to us the Father, showing to us the spiritual dimension, showing to us how to do it. And finally dying for us so that they would take our sins on him. So, God's rules, God's principles don't change with time. They're always the same from the beginning to now. Our understanding changed. In Psalm 103, it's Old Testament, but it says it everything there. Verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His throne is the place in which he rules, place of the kingdom. Okay. And his kingdom rules over all. What does it mean? That doesn't, you know, both physical and spiritual, his laws are operating and controlling everything the way it is. Okay. That has not changed. Okay. God's rules are both spiritual and physical for the physical dimension. He keeps order in all creation because it's his kingdom. Okay, where his rules are. Okay. When people break his principle and his rule, there are consequences because what they do is they break the order that God has created. Okay? And that produces problems. Okay? So now we have to understand that. But God is just. And God knows that we are just stupid. And he deals with us that way. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, Psalm 103, you know, one of the things that said, you know, he doesn't deal with us according to our sin, nor punishes us according to our iniquities. Why? Because he knows that we are too stupid to know our iniquities, even what they are. Because we don't know everything. Everybody knows everything? No. Jesus knew everything. In his judgment was righteous. Our judgment are messed up. Even if we try to do the right thing sometime. So, but let me continue because there's much more there. You know, so his throne He rules everything. Everything is in control. God is in control. That's what it means. That doesn't mean, though, that people can do the wrong thing. And there are wrong things happening that he doesn't want to happen on earth because they are the result of sin. People breaking God's laws. But God allows us to do that. The same way as he allowed to do that to Adam and Eve. He established the law to keep things in order. And that means there are going to be negative consequences. Now, God is just. In Psalm 103, again, verse 6, the Lord said, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed." So, you know, he just does, you know, helps people, you know, execute the just, you know, implement justice and for those who are oppressed, for those that are suffering. That means, but you, if they are oppressed, that means in some way or another, somebody, someplace, broke the law, broke the order, because the oppression doesn't come from God. Then continues here, because it's explained a bit more. Verse 7, he made known his way to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. What is saying here? You see, the children of Israel was the big mass, the people in the world. The only thing that they could see about God was when they make him, was made a miracle or was make something gigantic, but they only would see the physical thing. They could not understand his ways. Only Moses could understand his way because he had revelation, because he was interacting with God. Even if he was not born again, Moses was not born again. But he was a prophet, and he had connected with God to the extent that he actually was able to communicate with him and get information. Are you following me? Just listen to this. I'm not going to go all the scripture to justify what I'm saying. But this is really what was taking place. He was actually in communion with God, and God would tell him things. When we are in communion with God, God should be able to tell us things. It's not weird. It's not fanatical. It's God's intention to communicate with us so that we know what to do. Okay? And if we want, if we are open enough, we are going to hear the message and respond to the message of Jesus. We know basically inside that there is something that we need there. And that is just the first part. But there is much more than we had to get. This is why he has given us the word. But the word is about spiritual things. My word, their spirit, and their life. We cannot understand. The natural men understand not the things of the spirit. They are spiritually discerned. So, you know, it's, what I mean is comparing scripture with scripture. That means that we are able, we had to know the scripture. We had to receive revelation. We had to be connected with God. When we are born again, we should start to go to the Word, seek the Word. As soon as we are born again, we want to know the Word because the Word is where life is. You know, when I was born again, the first things that God told me to do, and he told me to do, wasn't anybody, wasn't any priest, wasn't any person of them. He told me, go and buy yourself a Bible. And I bought myself a Bible and understood nothing. It was Chinese to me. Because I was still really, although he had an experience, I was seeking. That's why he gave me that vision. But I had to understand certain things to be able for me to be born again. Essentially, I committed that moment. I said, I'm going to work, I'm going to live for you. I mean, what more than that? Okay? Then the other thing was just my mind catching up. Okay. Now, so You can see, even in the Old Testament, there were people that had some understanding about the spiritual laws, and they would be able to operate at the level. Okay? And they were just not even born again. They didn't have a life spirit inside them. They were still dead. Even Moses. Okay? Now, when Moses got revelation from God about the law, his expression of the law, okay, was based on things that they could understand. Physical things that they should and should not do. When instead the issues there were spiritual things. So the law was directed for people that are not spiritual, that are physically based, and that the only thing that they can get is this physical law, but they don't really tell the story. So, you know, physically something can be right or wrong, you know, and you can see it, but the reason why those things are done, that's the key thing. Eating the fruit wasn't the problem, was the spiritual position that they took against God was the problem. You can do something that is wrong completely for the, you know, not knowing, and that's not sin. Are you following me? Your sin is when you want to do that, even if you know that God doesn't want you to do it. And that can be something that is completely acceptable. Like eating a fruit. Do you see what I'm saying? So God looks after the heart, not the physical things. God looks at the way you, what's going on inside you, and you better learn to go and look after what's going on inside you. Because that is the problem. That is the source of falling. That is the source of separating you from God. We have to be conscious. That's why, you know, I give such importance to the topic of conscious living. Conscious living, you know, your consciousness. That some probably call it conscience, but doesn't tell the same, quite the same thing. Okay. Your consciousness of where you stare spiritually, spiritually, you know, is determining your position toward God. And you consciously have to take a certain place to connect with God or not connect with God. Our walk is the result of the way we are located, or the way we choose to be. And the impact is enormous just taking a simple position internally. Because that is what God looks at. Are you open and obedient and open to receive direction from God? Or are you guided by your theology, your ideas, your doctrines, or your things? And somebody tells you differently and you are close to it because you believe what you heard. God wants you to be able to throw everything away that you believed in if he reveals to you the truth. And his disagreement with that. Are you following me? That's what makes the difference. Okay. 1 Corinthians. So, I can't remember now what I was reading here. Anyway, let's. The position there is always faith. Our faith is what makes the difference. Our faith is believing in God's word. It's not believing doctrines. Doctrines can be you know, the way the word is put together, but, you know, it's not just one doctrine, it's the word. Everything has to line up, not just one doctrine. It's the truth, it touches everything. So you, but you know all the word, you know the, evidently not. And God doesn't expect. God is just. He knows that you have a limited mind and you don't have the ability to think about everything like he does. He knows everything. He knows each hair on your head. You don't even know your hair if there are more today than yesterday or not. So, I mean, he understands that. You know, he's completely aware and conscious of things, and he knows your limitation better than anybody. Okay, so he wants you to learn and grow and expand your knowledge of the truth so that you come to the place that you can more and more fulfill the function that he created you for, which is to have dominion over all the earth. Now, okay, even in the Old Testament, that was clear and was explained, and there was enough information to follow that. In Proverbs 3:5 says very clearly, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean on in your own understanding. See, he knows that your understanding is always limited. So you can base on the things you understand. You have to trust God. But if you trust God, then there are some things that are... That means you have to value God more than the things that you know that you should be doing. At being connected with him. Okay. Trusting, Lord, my valuing, you know. And that is really what faith is. Faith is to believe in his word. Okay. You don't know everything. But God knows everything, okay? And he knows when we break the rules or we don't. He knows everything, even when you break the rule all internally, okay? So only by trusting him, what he says, what you can expect from him, you are going to be able to do when he's, you know, trusting him more than anything else, even the things you believe. And then goes on, says something important. Says, verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So you see, you need direction. You need to know the things that you don't know. Okay? And he's the one that's going to tell you the things you don't know. He shall direct your path if you, the key, acknowledge him. And that doesn't really reflect what he's telling us. Acknowledge him, the word in Hebrew is yada. Know, actually, is not just knowing up here. It's knowing experientially. It's knowing that because you connected with him so many times, you know that you can trust him. You know that he is there for you. You know that he loves you. You know that he's going to guide you because he guided you 100 times before. Are you following me? You see, our experience is critical to be able to trust God. You can have just as much faith when you start. Because there are things that you cannot grasp at that time because you don't have much experience. But the more experience you get, the more your faith should grow because you grow from faith to faith. But if you grow from faith to failure, then you're going to regress because the word says so. The word clearly says, you know, the desire that is not received, okay, makes the heart sick. Or is delayed, makes the heart sick. So the idea is our heart gets affected and our faith cannot be there. Our faith is believing in the heart. Are you still with me? So we are getting closer there to understand better. Okay, says the Bible, so be not wise in your own eyes. That means, you know, don't depend on the things you know and you think that, you know. No, no, just acknowledge him. Have the experience. The more experiences you have, the more you're going to know that you can trust him, even when you don't have a clue what to do next. Because he's faithful. That's one of the things that the Bible says all the time. God is faithful. What does it mean? When he says something, he's going to do it. So, but you have to listen to what he's saying. And if you don't know even what he said, how can he be faithful to you? Well, he speaks to you and you are going to experience stuff. And then you are going to yada. You're going to know that he is reliable and faithful. And the people that had that experience, you know, the children of Israel, knew his acts, saw him doing. He said, oh, that's God. But the next situation they were in, they were entrusting him, they were complaining, they were doing things. Why? Because they don't know that God is faithful. Moses knew that God is faithful. So when he was next to the water, you know, he took the staff up and says, you know, open up. And the water on the Red Sea departed, opened up. See, there is a different place. One have a yada experience of God faithfulness. The other one just saw when Moses was saying something and God would move. And they didn't have any faith to make it happen. Are you following me? So this is where becomes so critical. Okay. To understand that our experience is important for us to be able to receive things from God. Okay. Let me continue because there's another verse, but we are not going to go more in that because we don't need to. But it says here, you know, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. And then goes on and says, you know, you're going to have, your business is going to be well and everything is going to work out all right. Why? Because you are not going to the right or to the left. Because you are not attracted by other things. You are attracted by listening to God. And you are open to God to direct you. Because he's faithful and you know that he is faithful. See, nothing is changed today. But many believers works by doctrine and theology instead of working by the knowledge of God. And that's why they don't get results. And that's a natural thing to do because our flesh is still taking over. The old man takes over instead of walking by the connection with the Holy Spirit and being revealed things to us. We go because somebody said, or we heard this doctrine or the other stuff. Like, you know, plenty of doctrines around that people believe, accept, and practically most of the people that call themselves Christian accept, and they're completely wrong. The Bible says so. Okay. Like generational curses, to give you an example. That's complete ignorance about understanding how the scripture that they use is used for us to keep in bondage, and the enemy uses that to keep people in bondage forever. God, two times, spend almost the whole chapter each time, say, don't do that anymore. It's wrong. It's been wrong interpretation on Deuteronomy. But man, always the same. The doctrine starts to spread around and everybody believes it. Anyway, sometime I will have to teach on that because that's really sad, to say the least. Okay, what time is it? Well, all right, well, I think I have to close now. We are going to move into the New Testament. But remember, God does not change. The same principle operating in the Old Testament works today. The law doesn't change. It's the way we understand it. And Jesus came to so that we could understand on a spiritual level, not on a doctrinal level. So that we can have that experience and be open, because now, you know, we should much more be open to the Spirit inside us, communicating with us, because He has given us inside the Holy Spirit being with us. That's the key difference that they didn't have. But now we do have, if we are connected. Praise the Lord. All right, well, next week we're going to talk about, you know, the new creation, the way it works, okay? And the way it functions, the way it operates, so that we can keep moving on and keep having victories and keep having experiences and keep overcoming temptation. Because that's what it's all about. See, temptation comes from what is remaining of the whole man. Satan doesn't have to do anything most of the time. Just life situations are coming up and you are going to be tempted because you have not dealt with those judgments inside you, and those judgments that you have about those things is wrong. So the value that you have for is different from God's value for those things. And you think, well, you know, I don't have any money. I have to do something here. And so you end up doing the wrong thing. When instead, if you do God, what God tells you, you're going to have a blessing and the money. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What can you add to that? That's New Testament. That's God's position. But doesn't say you go around and try to get God to do that because, you know, you want it. No. You go after God and God take care of all the needs that you have. Don't break God's principle to go after the physical things. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. For having given us all everything that we need for life and godliness, that we may be open to your love, your direction, your truth, and we may be able to appropriate all the things that you have prepared for us, which is much more than we can ever think or dream. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your justice. Open our eyes that we may see and embrace your love. Embrace the victory that Jesus conquered for us. He did everything that we need. Let us receive it and be grateful. We thank you. Now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.